This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, Erev Shavuot. I don't know where we are at the moment. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, Gmar Tov.
Yes.
Yes, we're in the middle of nowhere at the moment and we're not quite sure. We've just had a weekend. We're going into a weekend. We're not really quite sure where we are. But Howard, I do need to start with addressing the conversation that you had with Kathy on Friday. And first of all, wish you a mazal tov and yishar koach for assuming the mic at Chai FM. I know it's a huge challenge and I know you've got some big plans. And I certainly hope that they all work out. And, you know, your conversation and talking about the history gave me the incentive to go back and look to see when my first broadcast
was on
Chai FM. And I found myself broadcasting in December of 2008 for the first time, which I think is almost like at the beginning. So I'm not quite sure if besides Kathy, if anybody's been on the air of the radio for longer than I have. Maybe there are some, I'm not sure. But it's certainly been a journey and we've certainly seen things happen since then. And I think we are at a crossroads. And of course, my interest is more about the Israeli content and the relationship of the community with Israel. And, you know, you mentioned in your conversation with Kathy that sometimes you have to withhold some of your personal views in the interests of the community and trying to present a communal view. I'm lucky enough not to have to bother with all that. And as you guys already know, I'm very quick and happy to offer my own personal views on things and not hide that away. So I've been quite fortunate to be able to get away with that. But I do feel that as much as the radio station is at a crossroads, I think that the relationship between Israel and the diaspora is at a crossroads. And I think that events over the course of the next week may well be very influential in determining what happens. But it's interesting for me to hear from listeners, you know, some of whom might go back as far as 2008, although I somehow doubt that there are people who are still around from all of those years ago. But certainly the relationship with Israel has changed. The relationship between Israel and South Africa on national levels has changed. And I think that the relationship between Israel and the Jewish community and the non-Jewish community has changed, particularly over the last 2 years. So I think that we're all at a little bit of a crossroads right now. And, you know, I mentioned before Yom Kippur how difficult I found the last year of broadcasting. And one of the main reasons is because it's so difficult to get your hands on real, accurate, balanced information. Everything just seems to be very fake news. Everything has to be fact checked. You can't believe even videos that look very, very convincing. Suddenly it turns out that they've been AI'd and that they're not exactly what they purport to be. So that's what's really been so difficult about the last year and the last period of time. But I hope that we can continue our journey and discover what happens next. And we thank you and thank Kathy for the platform that you guys have given me to be able to express my views and to share some of those with the listeners.
Well, Anthony, just so you know, your Israel report remains and continues to be one of our most popular slots because people, I think, appreciate that we go into three stories roughly a day. We go into them properly. The research is significant, and we don't just report on the headlines and, as you say, fake news. So I know that our listeners greatly, and I, Kathy, certainly, because we've had this conversation many times, greatly appreciate your continued effort and commitment to all of us. Interestingly enough, just before we go into the news stories, the one positive out of all of this that I would say is that, certainly from my perspective, and I believe from the South African perspective, I can't speak about diaspora Jewry elsewhere, but I believe that the relationship between South African Jews and Israel, understanding what Israel's going through, connecting to it, feeling for it, has actually never been stronger. And there have been times that it hasn't, and you and I, over the years, as you know, have discussed that, where I felt I was visiting Israel. I didn't feel as though there was so much I couldn't connect to. Now I feel every part of everything. And obviously, that comes with all of its nuances. But I think the difference is, and the positive is, that I believe that we are much, much more connected as a South African Jewish community than we have ever been before, notwithstanding our government's horrific attitude. I'm interested in your view, 0618951019. Do you agree with the sentiment that I'm expressing, or do you disagree, and tell me why that is the case? Anthony, what is happening in terms of this deal?
Well, what we know is that representatives from the Israeli government and from Hamas in Gaza, we understand, have arrived this morning in Egypt with the intention, we understand, of ironing out details of the Trump plan. And we've also heard that Hamas has also begun somehow moving around the Gaza Strip in order to extricate bodies of hostages who have been buried in different places around the Gaza Strip, which all gives us the impression and the feeling that there will be some sort of a hostage release. At least the ones who are deceased are now being exhumed with the intention of returning them to Israel. And of course, we hope that the live ones will be returned, hopefully even sometime this week. I know that President Trump gave 72 hours to release the hostages. I'm not sure when the 72-hour clock began to tick, or even if indeed it has begun to tick. All of that is seemingly unclear. But we do know that President Trump again yesterday said that this deal needs to be done this week, or there will be major bloodshed. He keeps warning of the consequences of not doing the deal, and the warnings come to Hamas. It's not clear exactly what he has in his possession that he might be able to unleash to cause these consequences to happen. But all indications are right now that there will be at least some implementation of the deal. And the great news is that the very first stage is release 48 hostages. Not one, not two, not in groups. Release 48 hostages, all of them. And even though Hamas has then given clear indications that they will not be willing to relinquish their arms, which is also part of the deal, albeit a slightly later stage of the deal, that they will not be willing to relinquish their position in Gaza, which once again is a later clause of the deal that's due to be implemented a little later on. But they certainly look ready to release our hostages. And for me, that is probably the most important aspect of the deal, because once our hostages are released, we could potentially conduct everything that we're doing in an extremely different way. Now, of course, in return for releasing our hostages, Israel will effectively be opening its prisons and allowing pretty much all of those who are political prisoners who have been convicted of crimes, terrorism, those who've been arrested since October the 7th. We're pretty much going to be opening our prisons and allowing thousands of prisoners to be released in exchange for our hostages coming home. And I think that a vast majority of Israelis would say, just do it. Just do it. Let the hostages come home. And if it means we need to open our prisons, let's do so. There is quite a lot being written about the fact that it's ironic that the abductors and those who were involved in October the 7th, carrying it out and killing people and taking people hostage, some of those people who are in Israeli prisons right now will be released as part of this particular phase of the deal, the first phase. There will be literally thousands of prisoners released, and the IDF has already pulled back on its operations in Gaza, not quite a ceasefire, because there still have been operations they claim to be defensive operations, just to keep our soldiers who remain in Gaza safe and to try to ensure that they're not subject to potential attacks while they are sitting and not continuing the operations in Gaza. But IDF soldiers remain in Gaza. The theory is that they will be pulled back to certain ceasefire lines, so they will be withdrawn from certain areas in Gaza at some point relatively early in this particular deal. So they will stop the operations, they will be pulled back, the hostages will come home, the prisoners will be released, and then I think the difficult parts come of implementation. And let's hope that those difficulties will only be encountered once the first phases have actually been implemented. Because as I've said before, for us, bringing the hostages home is really of a paramount importance. Stopping the war is important as well, and we certainly want the war stopped, but we're not willing to stop the war if it means leaving Hamas in Gaza, leaving Hamas armed in Gaza. That's certainly not part of the deal. And so I think that allowing the hostages to come home and just getting over that first phase will free up the IDF and the Israeli government, and potentially with the support of the American government, to then decide whether or not we will stop the war, whether or not Hamas are adhering to their side of the deal, to decide what we will do next. So I am feeling a lot more optimistic than I was when we last spoke about this, and you and I disagree as to whether this would happen or not. It seems as if, though, your view is certainly the one that is happening rather than my own view, and I'm very, very delighted to have been wrong, if indeed that will be the case on this occasion. But there is a certain feeling of optimism, and certainly there was a Ne'ilah service that was conducted at Hostage Square at the end of Yom Kippur.
Wow.
And a feeling of, you know, bring our hostages home. The significance of tomorrow being October the 7th has not been lost on anybody. It falls on Sukkot and potentially falls on the day that the hostages may well be released. Let's hope that it could be as soon as tomorrow or certainly later this week, but it's been 2 years, 2 years that they've been languishing in Gaza. And so, of course, our hopes and our prayers and levels of optimism about the potential of our hostages coming home this week has been soaring. We are all glued to the news to hear what is happening next. And of course, when we hear that bodies are being exhumed, it has we cannot help ourselves but begin to feel a lot more optimistic that this is definitely moving forward. So the teams are in Egypt, and we will be listening to hear whatever comes out of those discussions today. And, of course, for a timetable as to what happens next.
Please, God, that works out. Let's just talk about quite an irritating subject, which is the Gaza flotilla. So that was intercepted on Yom Kippur, as anticipated. What's happened since then?
Well, what I would like to say about all of that is that it was actually, while many of us were involved with Kol Nidre last week, that our Navy was out intercepting the flotilla, 40 boats all in all, some 400 odd people involved. Of course, all of them very, very anti-Israel. I mean, I know that they come under the banner of free Palestine and peace to Gaza and all the rest of it. But I've said this before and I'll say it again, that I think that many of those people, rather than being pro-Palestinian, are really anti-Israeli, anti-Jewish, rather than being pro anything. And certainly saying free Palestine right now is much more of an anti-Jewish thing than a pro-Palestinian thing, in my interpretation of the way that things are going. But those people were intercepted. There's so many videos showing some of those involved in the flotilla stuffing money into bottles that they'd had on the boat, money that they'd brought apparently as aid, stuffing it into bottles and throwing it overboard, hoping that it might float to Gaza and free Palestine. There were videos showing some of the activists throwing their phones overboard into the water so that the Israeli authorities wouldn't be able to get possession of the contents of their phones. They were arrested. They were brought to Israel. They were kept in prison. Many of them have already been repatriated or deported, whichever word you wish to use. Many of them went to Turkey. We understand that Greta Thunberg is due to be deported for the second time this morning. She will go to Greece, we understand. But I would like really to commend Israel's navy. Yeah, she does get around. That's very true. But I'd like to commend Israel's navy on the operation that they carried out. The fact that we don't hear much about what happened, and that there are no reports, and that there are no international uproars over the whole interception, is great credit to the operation of the navy. Very, very clinically carried out, very sensitively carried out. Things that needed to be recorded were recorded. Nobody was hurt. No shots were fired. No boats were sunk in the process. It was just clinical and clean, and everything well planned and executed down to the last detail. So I really think that we need to commend the members of our Navy who on Yom Kippur night were out carrying out this operation, which really didn't need to happen. And ultimately, we understand that the aid that this flotilla was supposedly bringing really didn't amount to very much at all. There were some reports suggesting that there was some sort of food that had gone off and a supply of condoms somewhere. And, you know, this was really kind of the extent of the aid that they managed to discover that was being brought to free Palestine. So it's very annoying, but it was a potential explosive device that could have gone completely wrong had it not been handled well. So I really think that our Navy have done a fantastic job. And unfortunately, we've already run out of time. We're on, you know, we're already into Sukkot and hopefully into freeing the hostages, into commemorating October the 7th. Elon Levy said, "I will not be distracted from calling this the October the 7th war. I don't want to call it anything else. And the reason why I want to call it the October the 7th war is so that we don't forget what started this war, where we came from. If we call it the October the 7th war, we will remember that it was precipitated by those events on October the 7th. And I fully subscribe to that. So unfortunately, there's so much more to talk about, but I will leave it at that. We will connect again after Sukkot. I wish all of you Chag Sameach. I hope that by the time I talk to you next, we will already have hostages free, that we will have some positive news to talk about. And I hope that all of you will have the opportunity to celebrate Sukkot and have some good things to talk about around the table in your sukkah.
That would be only too wonderful. Anthony Rach, thank you as always. Chag Sameach. And we'll catch you on Thursday morning, 7:45, for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.